I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning back to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. And if you would this morning, you pray for me as I attempt to preach. I, this morning, have attempted by the grace of God to find that passage of Scripture that the Lord would have me to speak on. It's not been an easy thing to do today, but you pray for me that the Lord might be pleased to use what is said here this morning. I thought about Jeremiah when I was preparing this message. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of the Old Testament. Very possibly one of the greatest or the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Now that's my own opinion. Jeremiah was a man who had a burden from the Lord. The Lord gave him many, many times a very unpopular message. It was a message from God, and the people knew that Jeremiah was indeed a prophet sent of God. And they often looked to him for a word from the Lord. And the saying was, "Is there a word today from the Lord?" And Jeremiah was supposed to have a word from the Lord for the people. Many times he delivered that message, and when he delivered the message faithfully, it was not accepted, it was not received, and it was not looked upon as being that which the people wanted at that time to hear from the Lord. And so Jeremiah suffered greatly at the hands of the people. But Jeremiah, he was not an optimist. He was not a pessimist, even though many people would probably think that he was. Jeremiah was a realist. He was a realist. He didn't look at things through rose-tinted glasses. He didn't put a face on them that they ought not wear. He just simply stated the truth and believed the truth. He presented it to the people, and whatever they did with it, then that was in the hands of the Lord, between them and the Lord. Now, if there is any reward for a preacher, if there is, that reward will not be administered in proportion to how the people received what he had to say. Now, I want you to remember that statement. I want you to remember that. If there is any reward for a preacher of the gospel, for a prophet of God, that reward will not be based upon the proportion of the message he preached being received by the people. It will be determined by the faithfulness of his declaration, whether he preached what God laid on his heart, whether he was truthful to the people, whether he said what God told him to say. Now, and that's how Jeremiah felt about it. He said, "The word of the Lord's in me, and it's like a fire in my bones, and I have to declare the burden of the Lord. I must declare the burden of the Lord." And so therefore, I thought about old Jeremiah. Sometimes it's difficult to deal with certain passages of Scripture in the Bible, and sometimes you're not sure just how certain people are going to take it, how they're going to look at what you've got to say. But I gave up a long time ago and attempted just to find the mind of the Lord the best I could and to present that. So if you got any argument this morning, please don't argue with me. Don't argue with me. Just listen to what the Word of God says and attempt this morning to get something for your own soul out of what we have to say. Now here in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, if you turn there, and maybe I didn't announce the chapter, but if you would look in the 13th chapter, let me just read a few selected verses out of the 13th chapter, and then some more out of chapter 14. We begin with verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now look up, if you will, in verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they may be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be a good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. And then let's skip down here a little bit further to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They got this great bundle of grapes, cluster of grapes, and they brought it back, and they returned after 40 days. Now, 40 days is significant, and you'll find that out a little bit later. But they returned, and when they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Speaking of the cluster of grapes. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, now listen to this, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now then, let's look down into the 14th chapter. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for their bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And then the Lord began to speak to Moses about how that he had brought the people up and how he had delivered them and how he had forgiven them so many, many times. And then the Lord pronounced judgment upon these unbelieving people among the Israelites and told them that he would not take them in, but he would take their children into this good land, the children that they were afraid would fall prey to the giants in the land and to the wilderness of the land. And the Lord also told them that as the spies were out there spying out the land for 40 days, that's how many years that the people would wander around, all these rebels, these unbelievers would wander around in that wilderness, and then finally their carcasses would fall in that wilderness because of their unbelief and because of their rebellion. Now this is a great chapter. These two chapters. The story is one that is powerful, and we see that among the professed people of God, that mistrust and unbelief is much more prevalent than faith. Now, beloved, we should ask ourselves this morning, is it more prevalent among us? Is mistrust and unbelief, is it more prevalent among us than faith? Now the children of Israel, they were prone to unbelief, and God forgave them over and over and over again from the time he brought them out of Egypt until the day when he pronounced upon them this judgment. God had forgiven. It wasn't that they had never provoked him before. It wasn't that this was the first time that they had ever turned back in unbelief. No, that's not the case, because these people, they were one day they would bow before an idol, and the next day they would murmur against God. Their life was according to the flesh, and they listened only to what they wanted to hear, and they only would obey that which was pleasing to them. Now, the moment that these people were in want or in difficulty, and they saw no way out, they saw no supply, they saw no relief, When they got up against a hard situation, and when they said, we can't go into the land, they said, well, now Moses and Aaron, you've led us out here, and it would be better for us to go back to Egypt. Let's appoint us a captain, and let's go back into Egypt. Now, God had brought them out of Egyptian bondage. God had brought them out with a strong right arm. And they got to the Red Sea, and God had opened up the Red Sea, and they had passed through. They saw the salvation of God. Now, beloved, there's one thing that the people of God need to understand in every generation, and that is that God leads his people, and he means that they follow him, and he means that they obey his leading. You remember that God gave the children of Israel the pillar of fire by night, and he gave them the pillar of cloud by day. And God said to them, he said, now when I move, you move. And when I lead, you follow me. Now that's all they had to do. God knows the way through the wilderness, and all you have to do is follow, the little song says. God knows the way, and all you have to do is follow. The Word of God says in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now what that means is that they that are led by God's Spirit, those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and every believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Everybody that has the Holy Spirit will be led by the Holy Spirit, be directed by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit in their lives, and they will be led in the way that God would have them to go. We often read in the Bible where we're to walk with God, we're to follow and imitate God. Well, to walk with God implies progress. It implies moving. It implies that you're going forward in the ways of God. And so, beloved, I say to you this morning that believers in every generation need to believe that God is leading them on. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a time when we ought to wait, and when we ought to sit, and when we ought to just be satisfied just to wait on the Lord. Because the Bible teaches it over and over again that we must wait upon the Lord and be patient and submit ourselves to God, even in times when it doesn't, when the cloud doesn't move, when the cloud doesn't move, or when the pillar of fire doesn't appear before us and move, that there's times when we must wait upon the Lord. But generally speaking, God's people are on the move. They are being moved upon by the Spirit of God to go forward in the things of God and to progress in the things of the Spirit. But these people, they begin to cry out because they were not willing when God said, "This is my will." And when the faithful prophets of God, Caleb and Joshua, these men who were of a different spirit, they were of the spirit of faith. They were the spirit of confidence in God. They said, "We can well go ahead." They said, "We can do it." And they did not want to rebel against God. And he said, Caleb said that if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. If the Lord is with us, then whatever God has asked us to do, we can do it. Now, they had many objections as to not wanting to go in. They said, "Well, you know, the land consumes everybody, and there's giants there, and we're just like grasshoppers in their sight." And they had many, many objections. But the Lord put his, as it were, and I'm just speaking here, I'm saying, speaking as a man, the Lord put his finger right on the problem in verse 11 and said, "The problem is not the giants in the land. The problem is not the obstacles that you're talking about or that you're bringing up. That is not the problem. The problem is," as he very plainly says, "is your unbelief. How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them?" How long is it going to be before you're going to believe me? Now, beloved, if you're going to believe God and trust God, you're not obligated to do anything other than what you know that God wants you to do. But whenever God makes it clear to you what you must do and ought to do, then you must do it. You must obey the Lord. You cannot go back. You cannot sit still. It's not the same after God speaks and says, "There's the land, go spy it out." And then God says, "You can well take it, you can go in, and I'm with you." Then, beloved, you can't sit back and say, "We're not going to do it. We can't do it. There's no way we can do it." And then begin to raise all kinds of objections as to why you cannot do it. You can't do that. It's not the same anymore. When the Lord said, "I'm with you, fear not, go forward," you must go forward. And God says the problem is not the land. The problem is not the giants in the land. The problem is not the people in the land. The problem is not all of that. The problem is that you don't believe me. Now, beloved, let me tell you something here this morning, that if you believe in the omnipotence of God, if you believe that the God of the Bible is a sovereign, if you believe that he can do whatever he will do, and he will do whatever he purposes to do, if you believe that, then you got to give up your unbelief. And you got to quit looking at second causes, and you got to believe that whatever God asks us to do, we can do it in the name of the Lord. We can do it by the grace of God. We can do it if God puts strength in us. And we can do it as we lean on the Lord and as we follow the Lord. We're able to do that. Now, beloved, listen. I feel in my own soul that I do not and cannot continue to believe something in my own heart and then not speak and lead this church. God has placed me in the responsibility, this position of responsibility. God has given me this church and the oversight of this church. And I have an obligation before God and to you. And I will not be turned back from telling you that to sit after God leads you and directs you, that is an absolute folly, and it will bring down the judgment of God in some way or another upon us. And we will experience dry times if we don't follow the Lord and the leading of the Lord. How long will this people provoke me? How long? Now listen, brethren, there's a lot of things that God tolerates. I know that the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. He forgives iniquity and transgression, and by no means, the scripture says here in verse 18 of chapter 14, the guilty, he sometimes visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses said, pardon, being you're this kind of a God. He said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Now God is merciful, and God does forgive his people. He does forgive his people. And if the Lord was to mark iniquity and unbelief, I wouldn't be here today. I'll tell you that. And if God was to judge his people every time that they had some rebellion in their heart, I certainly would have been judged and sent to hell before now. And I'm not implying that something terrible and awful is going to happen to you if you don't do what I think you ought to do. I'm just simply telling you that you're going to have to deal with, before God, faith. You're going to have to deal with your unbelief. You're going to have to deal with the fact that if you don't go and move when God tells you to, that you're going to be provoking the Lord. And I want you to understand here this morning that this story here is in the Bible for some reason. This story is in the Bible for some reason. We know the scripture says in the book of Romans that the scriptures are, that this is an example to us, the Old Testament scriptures, that we might know and learn, and also in 1 Corinthians, Paul, he spelled it out about the children of Israel when they struck the rock and the water flowed out, and how that rock was a type of Christ and all that. These stories are to teach us something about the walk of faith. Now, we know that not all of the Israelites were true believers. And many of these that fell by the wayside, I'm sure, were not converted in the sense that we talk about men and women being converted. But, beloved, listen, we know, and having dealt with, as we have, unbelief, and I've dealt with it a great deal in my life, I certainly, but then there have been times when the Lord has spelled out to me what I must do, and I practically fainted because I didn't feel that I was able to do it. And I felt trembly and felt like, well, I just don't know. Maybe I better talk with somebody. And maybe I better try to get some counsel here as to whether I should do this or whether I shouldn't do it. And you feel all kinds of things come over you whenever you believe that God wants you to do something. Now, I want you to know that this was indeed to the side of the eye, looking at these giants and looking at this land. Beloved, it was, I have to give these people here, you know, some credit. I mean, they certainly had good eyes and they saw reality. They saw reality. But beloved, listen, when we're talking about spiritual things and we're talking about doing God's business in God's way, in God's time, you gotta sometime or other quit looking at things as they appear materially and fleshly and start believing that God is able to enable you to do what he asks you to do. And there's another thing I want you to know, is that God is not in the habit of asking his people to do things that they can do. He is not in the habit of asking any man to do anything that he can do in his own strength, with his own ability, and with his own might. God is not in the habit of doing that. If you read the Word of God, you will find that God, when He asked somebody to do something, only as they leaned on Him, only as they trusted Him, only as they relied upon Him, only as He put grace and strength in them, only as He provided for them, could they do what He asked them to do. And I don't think this church here has been favored of God. This church has been favored of God. This church has heard more gospel truth than any church in the city of Great Falls. This church has heard more about the sovereignty of God, the omnipotence of God, and the grace of God than any people in the state of Montana. And God is not about to ask you people, even though He loves you and has favored you, He's not about to ask you to do something that you can do in your own strength. He's not going to do it. I'm going to tell you that right now. And somebody said, well, you know, if we just had a pile of money, if we just had a bunch of money, well, listen to me, God ain't going to do His business that way. I'm sorry, but He's not going to do His business that way. God is going to move you out to do what He wants you to do, and then He'll provide for you step by step. Day by day the manna fell. Oh, to learn that lesson well. And you've got to move. And if you don't move out, then you're not going to see the Lord's blessing upon you in this way. God providing for you. God directing you. God giving you what it is that you've got to have in able to do that which He wants you to do. And so, beloved, this, I think, it was the sin of these people. The sin of this people was they just didn't believe that God was going to be with them and that God was going to provide for them, that God was going to help them, that God was going to lead them in and enable them to take of the land. Well, I want you to turn over. I'm not going to keep you long. I just made up my mind that, you know, I had other things that I wanted to preach, but I felt like with a great burden that this was the thing that I had to speak to you about this morning. I want you to turn to the first chapter of the book of Joshua. The first chapter of the book of Joshua. And I want to read a few things here, because this chapter here is where when Moses passed away, when God took Moses out of the picture, then Joshua, this man who had believed God, this faithful man, became the leader of the children of Israel. Joshua, Jesus is the name, and he's the leader. Moses couldn't lead the people in. Moses, he died in unbelief too. Moses was a man who sinned by striking the rock twice, you remember, and because of his impatience, he was not able to take the people on in to the land of Canaan, but died outside. He looked over and saw the land, but he was not able to go in. And in the first verse it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is dead, and he can't do anything anymore. I've removed Moses. He's out of the way. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, he said, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon and so on, even to the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. All the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, listen to this, be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. If I might pause right here, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this is one of the plaques that he had on his desk that he looked at every morning when he went to his desk. He said these words, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherein whithersoever thou goest. And then in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land where the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, beloved, that's the words here of the Lord to Joshua, who would lead the people in after Moses was taken out. I do not in any way, shape, or the form, I don't want anybody to even think that I'm a Moses or I'm a Joshua, either one. I am neither one. I am neither one. I am God's servant, and I have been placed here in this position of responsibility by the hand of God, and have been sustained here by the hand of God all these many years. And I believe that it's my obligation always to set before you what I believe God gives me. Now, if in your mind, and you're thinking this morning, maybe you question this, then you forgive me, and you somehow or other, if you can, say, well, the preacher kind of got a little bit off this morning, but we believe what the Word of God says, at least. And you at least believe what the Word of God says. And let us make up our minds that if we know, and believe you me, the children of Israel did know when that pillar of cloud moved and when that pillar of fire moved, they knew. And they knew when to take them tents down, and they knew when to pack up, and they knew when to hit the trail, because God moved in front of them. And I will tell you this, don't provoke the Lord if you know in your heart what the Lord would have you to do. Don't provoke the Lord by not doing it. Believe God, and however awesome the task looks before you, you step out, and God will go with you, and God's blessing will be upon you, and God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. God will undertake for you. But if you sit, and if you sit, and if you sit, and you will not move because you're comfortable, because you feel, well, everything's okay just like it is. Well, who are we? Who are we to make the judgment that everything's okay the way it is? Maybe it's just fine the way it is. But that does not mean that God don't have a purpose for this church, and that He will lead this church off of dead center or wherever we find ourselves today, and lead us on in another direction. We've got to be willing to move if God is in it. And we cannot provoke the Lord with our unbelief and say, well, I think it's just all right and fine just the way it is. Well, you know, if that's the case, then it's fine the way it is, if that's the case. If the Lord hadn't said anything. But if He has, or if He ever does, my friend, you'd be willing to move, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be willing to move? Don't you want to be a Caleb or a Joshua? Wouldn't you rather be a Caleb and a Joshua than to be one of these rebels who said, let's just go on back to Egypt. Let's just sit. We can't do anything. Listen, if you want to have rest, if you want to have peace, trust God. Believe on Him. Trust the Lord. Just believe that whatever God asks you to do, you can do it by His grace, by His strength. Not without trial, not without test, not without discouragement, not without sometime or other feeling like maybe that you're on ground that maybe you shouldn't even be on. But if God leads you, you step out, you go forward, you do as God leads you to do. Now, you may think, well, this is out of character, preacher. This sermon that you're preaching today is out of character. Well, maybe it is out of character, but maybe it's because I have never heard from God in these things before. Maybe it's because God hadn't said anything to me about this before. Maybe it's because the Lord hadn't laid these things on my heart before like He has now. And I'm telling you that the people of God are to be a people willing to move when their God tells them to. So you wait on the Lord. You find the mind of God. I'd never asked you to do anything that you don't feel you ought to do. I would not ask you to do it. But my friend, you've got to become very serious about this thing, and you've got to recognize that God could very well, now listen to me, there was an old preacher that made some statements one time that I thought was very good. And I just want to leave this with you. Old Brother Barnard, he was talking to a church one time who was getting ready to vote on something. They were getting ready to vote what they was going to do, make a decision, big decision about voting on something. Now, some of you are aware of the fact that there's different forms of government in churches. Some churches have a ruling body of elders. They have maybe 4 or 6 men who have the same qualifications as a preacher. And they make the decisions. They exercise the rule in the church. The church chooses them, and then they rule the body. And the preacher is the head of that ruling body of elders. They call them elders. And then other churches, and most Baptist churches, they have what they call a form of democracy. They vote, and the majority rules in a Baptist church. Now, Brother Barnard made this statement. I thought it was a very good statement. He said, if you pray, now listen to me, he said, if you pray, you won't have to vote. If you pray, you won't have to vote. He said, if you vote, you probably won't pray. Now, I think that is a true statement. I believe he's right. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this, that there is, and this preacher, listen to me now. I want you to listen to me. It isn't gonna change. I'm gonna be 63 years old in June. It isn't gonna change anything to any degree. All it's going to do, if this church builds a church building, if it does anything other than just sit right here, all it's going to do, it's going to be more work for me, and it's going to be some trials that we all got to face together, and much prayer. It's going to have to go up to God. It's going to be a task, and it's not going to be an easy thing to do from the flesh standpoint. And not only that, but everybody here knows that we're not going to build any kind of a building that's going to give anybody in this church a name. It's not going to give us no name. It's going to be just a plain, simple meeting house if God ever enables us to build it. And it's not going to be something that anybody can glory in after the flesh. It will be a decent, clean place for us to meet. And that's what it will be. But it's not somebody trying to make a name for themselves. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time. My dad died when he was 66. His dad died when he was 66. And then my grandfather's dad passed away when he was 73. And that's as far back as I know exactly how old my ancestors were. So I don't know how much time I've got. I may not even have that much time. But I'm not here trying to make a name for myself. I'm not here trying to lead you to do something for me. I am not. I want you people to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to be honest. I want you to seek the Lord. I want you to ask God to direct your minds and your hearts as to what you ought to do. I want you to be submissive to the Lord. That's what I want you to do. I want you to do that. Every one of you. And I want you to pledge to me before God In all honesty, I want you to pledge to the members of this church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to pledge to them that you will seek the Lord about this, that you will pray and ask God to direct your mind and your heart as a member of this body, as a member of this church, that you will ask God to lead you so that you will be able to fit into His purpose and His will. And if there is something that we're not seeing here, if there's something we don't know that we ought to know about this situation, may you pray that God will open all of our eyes to it so that we will see and know what He wants us to do. And I don't think there is anybody here, and I want to make this clear to you. I want you to know how I feel. I don't think there is anybody here in this assembly that don't want to do what the Lord wants them to do. Now, I want to make that clear to you because that's the way I feel about every one of you. I know you want to do what the Lord wants you to do. And I want us to pray until we know the mind of the Lord and know which direction He wants us to go. And I hope that we don't have to vote. I hope we don't have to vote. I don't want to. And I think that the words of Brother Barnard, that they have great meaning here this morning. And so let us be praying. Let us be honest, seek the Lord, attempt to find His mind about this situation. Well, let's have a word of feet. We have a word of prayer this morning that we've had this privilege of opening your word. And I do ask that you will bless this message today and the reading of the word and the comments, Lord, that have been made to the edification of this people and to all of our instruction, and how it rebukes my heart when I think of the many times when Lord, the spirit of laxness and laziness and indifference, how it creeps into our hearts, and how when it seems like that something would somewhere or another conflict with our little plans and our lives and our scheme of things, that we just hesitate and just would not want to do anything that would in any way create any inconveniences for us. And I know how that feels because I've been there so many times. But Lord, do undertake for us and lead us as a people. Help us each one to earnestly, fervently, honestly, with judgment day honesty, seek your face and to seek your mind. May this be a time when this church matures greatly in faith and greatly in discernment of the mind of God. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.